Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you for listening to Hope for Today. We are honored that you have chosen to be with us for today's lesson. Today, our title is Moses as God's Man, and our passage is the next section of Exodus 34. Before we get into today's lesson, let's think about that title, Moses as God's Man. There was a big job to do, and God used Moses to accomplish it. What about today? Is God still using people for specific jobs? Does God need us to accomplish certain tasks? The question is a bit tricky. It's true, there are lots of things we can do for God, and it's good when we want to serve Him in big ways. However, we are foolish if we think God needs us. God doesn't need us, but He does want us to partner with Him and be His servant. So yes, God is using people for specific tasks. And no, God doesn't need us, but He wants you. Are you willing? Am I willing? I like the mindset Mordecai had in the story of Esther, and it's a good example for us. He heard about Haman's plot to destroy the Jews, and he persuaded Esther to go before the king on behalf of her people. Mordecai was convinced God would save the Jews. If Esther was going to be silent, deliverance would come from another place. Then he asked, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" First thing for us to notice and copy, Mordecai had total confidence in God and did all he could do. He knew the Jewish people would not be destroyed. But it didn't look good. He didn't know how God would deliver them. So he did all he could with what he had. God still is totally trustworthy. But that doesn't mean we sit around and do nothing. Let's be like Mordecai and use our abilities, our resources, or the connections that we have to serve God. Second is the famous phrase, "Maybe you have been put here for such a time as this." The attitude behind this phrase is an attitude we should have. He knew he was part of a bigger plan. Someone greater than Haman or Xerxes was in control, and that power had him there for a reason. The same is true for you and I. Maybe God put us right where we are for a reason. Not maybe. God has a reason, and God has a plan. He is in control. It is our responsibility to see the big picture. So let's use all we have and contribute to His plan, right where you are, right now, for such a time as this. So yes, Moses was God's man for that moment. Will you be God's man or woman for this moment? Do you have total confidence in Him and make decisions from His perspective, from the big picture? God doesn't need us, but He wants us, and it's up to us to allow God to use us. So let's be willing and be available. If you can turn to Exodus 34, verses 10 to 17, and let's listen to Bible teacher J. Mark Horst as he teaches the rest of today's lesson.
Moses was the great leader of the children of Israel many, many years ago, during the time when they traveled from the land of Egypt to Canaan, the promised land. As we have learned in our previous studies, God chose Moses for that distinctive work of leading the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan. I believe God has a special work for each person, and for each work, God has His person. That means that God has a work for me, and He has a work for you to do. They're similar, but they're not the same, because we have different gifts and abilities. In this specific place and time that we're looking at in Israel's history, God chose Moses for this special work. He had a work for His man, Moses. Now you may remember that Moses had grown up in the court of Pharaoh, and he was actually heir to the throne of Egypt. He was next in line to take the throne. But God had to humble him, and so He sent him out to the backside of the desert as a shepherd. He went from being a somebody, that is, somebody important, to being a nobody. He's just out there all alone, in the desert with these smelly sheep. And after 40 long years, God called him to be the leader of his people. Then Moses was reluctant to serve. He said, "I'm not qualified." But Moses, as God's man, was especially qualified and trained by the Lord for the task which God called him now to perform. In Exodus chapter 34 and verses 10 to 17, God confirmed his call to Moses that he was indeed his man for this special task and work. So listen carefully as I read those verses. That's Exodus chapter 34, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 17. And as we begin reading, God is speaking. He said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among you shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible or an awesome thing that he will do with you. Observe that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make your sons go a-whoring after their gods. You shall make no molten gods." Here then in this text, God gave final directives to his man, Moses, for his work. The first directive is to observe God's outstanding works. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to do marvels. I'm going to do wonderful things." That means he was going to do outstanding works. He said, "Marvels such as had not been done in all the earth or in any other nation." Moses was going to have the opportunity to observe God at work in a particular, special, marvelous way before all of the people of Israel. And the Lord said he hadn't done this in any other nation or among any other group of people. Now, we may wonder, why would God do such an outstanding work among a particular people called Israel? There's a reason for that, a very special reason. God was going to bring forth his word and his will to all the people of the earth through the people of Israel and by the hand of this man, Moses. So God chose this particular man and this particular people to bring his revelation to all the world. That is an outstanding work. Now, we may not know all that God wills to do, just like Moses didn't know all that God was going to do. But we should be ready, like Moses, to behold God's marvelous works, whatever he does. This was preparation for Moses, God's man, to observe his outstanding works. And then the second directive is to obey God's commanding word. God gave Moses, his man, an especially careful command. It had to do with other people. He named a number of different ancient people groups in verse 11. The Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite. These were six neighboring nations to the people of Israel. And God said to Moses that he was to be very careful regarding these people because they did not worship the true God. God had a special command regarding their religion. Israel was to have nothing to do with these pagan religions at all. God was giving Moses a commanding word regarding their situation and their religion. He said, "Moses, you must be very careful in every way not to become ensnared in the heathen religions of these neighboring peoples." He told Moses, Israel should entirely destroy all their altars, all their images, and all their idols. So Moses, as God's man, was to obey his commanding word. And we must also be sure to follow the commandment of the Lord carefully. We should never presume upon the mercy and the grace of God. Like Moses, as God's man, you and I should carefully obey God's commanding word. So the first directive is to observe God's outstanding works. The second is to obey God's commanding word. And the final one is to order God's demanding worship. I see this as an enlargement of the second directive. Notice verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God will not allow a rival. No other worship for his people. Moses, as God's man, was to order the worship of God by concentrating on the one and only God, the Lord, whose name is jealous. Now, in order to accomplish this, that means all others had to be excluded. There could be no compromise. They could not make a covenant with the other inhabitants of the land to participate in their worship services when they sacrificed to idols. They could not compromise by taking the daughters of foreigners as wives for their sons, because their sons would most likely be ensnared in idolatry. And then God concluded his demands about worship by saying that they were to make no kinds of molten gods. That's what the ancient Canaanite tribes were known for, casting gods out of gold, silver, or some other metal. God was warning Moses especially against doing that. Moses, as God's man, was to order Israel's worship according to God's demanding way. And we too must make certain we are worshiping the true God in his way without compromise. That's what Moses, as God's man, was expected to do. Thus, Moses, as God's man, received these directives: observe God's outstanding works, obey God's commanding word, and order God's demanding worship. God gave these directives to Moses as his man so that he, God, would be real in Moses' life. There can be no rivalry with the presence of God in your life and mine. I wonder how God comes to you. How do you come to God? Is he real to you? Are you God's man or God's woman?
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this lesson with us. Those are good questions to end with. The answers are on us. No other person can answer them for us. I encourage you to think about how you know God. Then, put effort into your relationship with him. If we just let it go, nothing will happen. So don't do that. As you have noticed, we are coming to the end of Exodus. We have been in Exodus just over a year, and now we have three more lessons left. After Exodus is finished, we plan to go through the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. We look forward to this change and hope you will join us for this study. However, if you have questions about today's lesson, or if you'd like a copy of this teaching, please feel free to reach out to us. Here is how you can contact us. The best way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you can listen to other programs like this one. So please look around while you're there. If you go to the Connect tab, you can even message us directly from our website, which again is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks again for joining us this week. This brings us to the end of our program. Lord willing, we will be together again next week. Till then, go with God, and I leave you with the question I asked at the beginning. Will you be God's man or woman for this moment? You are where you are for a reason. Allow him to work in and through you.